Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you're taking us on a journey individually and together as a body, as a church. I'm asking today for revelation. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you please teach us? Thank you as we read in Scripture, Spirit of God, you are our teacher. And we ask that you'd open the eyes of our heart to see, to understand, to realize, and to appropriate the things you have for us, Lord. Today we ask, Lord, would you move amongst us and would you impress these things on our hearts, things you have for each of us. Lord, you know the struggles, the difficulties, the issues that we bring here today. And we're asking, Lord, would you equip us afresh for those things? Amen. A good few years ago now, Barbara, my wife and myself, we were had opportunity to go to a country called Nepal, to go trekking in Nepal. And it was a wonderful time, with 3 weeks trekking. And it was a very remote part of Nepal, up near the Tibet border. So if you've got Nepal, above north of that, you've got Tibet. And we were taken by a bus down a very bumpy road for many miles to west of the west side of Nepal. And we were dropped off at a village called Trasuli Bazaar. Fantastic name. And well, not truly Bazaar, but Trasuli Bazaar. And we were dropped off there with a cook, with a guide, with 10 porters and a load of kit. And we set off up this valley called the Trasuli Valley towards a part of the Himalayas called the Langtang Himal. As we set off, it was with some trepidation. As we started going, the first obstacle we met was a rope bridge. And as we approached, I could see this thing coming up. And there was a valley, and across the valley was strung two long cables. And then there were pieces of wood that were tied together to form a bridge. Because the plan was that this was the way, because the valley was very deep and there was water in the valley, there was a river flowing, big river flowing in the valley. So the only way across was this was the only way. This is all you could do. You couldn't go through the water, you had to cross this bridge. As we were approaching this bridge, I noticed that not all the wooden slats were in place. So as I got closer and closer to this rope bridge, long rope bridge across this valley, and we could see that actually it wasn't in that good state of repair. And as we approached it, I noticed there was two slats and then one missing and a few slats missing. And so you could then look right down to the water below. And as I was slightly nervous approaching this thing. And so I said to the guide, you know, what about this bridge? And he said, oh, the reason why some of the slats are missing is the locals use this to take their cattle across. And of course, it's not meant for the cattle. It can't cope with the weight of the cattle. So there's some broken slats in this bridge. And we had no choice but to gingerly step on each plank. And I was very glad to reach the other side without falling through the gaps. The thing that was difficult was trusting my life, was trusting that this incomplete bridge would take me across. Would it hold? Had the cattle weakened it? Would I slip? I had to trust the guide and he had confidence in the bridge and trust the planks that remained that they were going to carry my weight. Now, if this bridge crossing is a small parable, it's a lesson in trusting God, even when things seem a bit shaky. It's a good introduction to the talk this morning, because we're continuing our next step in what does it mean to trust God? What does it mean to trust a God who's revealed himself as the God who is faithful, the God who won't let us down, the God who's always there, the God who is the one who is faithful to us at all times? Scripture reveals faithfulness as part of the very character of God. He will not let us down. And we saw last week, he can be completely trusted in all aspects of our life. He's trustworthy, dependable, consistent. He's not flaky. He's always there for us. And he's never going to let you down. The bridge looked scary. And so it was with hesitancy that I trusted my weight to the bridge. Trusting every detail of our lives to God can be like crossing one of these rope bridges. You can only cross the valley if you trust the bridge. You're at the complete mercy of the bridge. If you're going to get across, you've got to keep going and have faith in that bridge. Standing on a rope bridge, the water may be foaming in the valley below, but if you have confidence in the bridge, you can make across the roughest water. want to picture you yourself this morning. Picture this morning on a bridge, on a rope bridge. The great thing about rope bridges, of course, if you wobble like this, the whole thing kind of shakes from side to side because it's just suspended by ropes either side. And so it's got that added sense of thrill and excitement. Imagine being on a bridge, and underneath are the issues, the difficulties, the problems, the challenges that you face. Because in some small way, this is a parable. It's a little picture. It's a little insight into getting across to the other side. And I want us to see today that God is in one way like a bridge that we can totally trust in. He's totally trustworthy, and we can be confident of his goodness in taking us across these valleys. Now, scripture describes God's faithfulness in its many facets. So, continue with this analogy of a bridge. When we study, we see three things about God's faithfulness. Firstly, God's faithfulness is so big. In Psalm 36, verse 5, we read this. It says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens." Incredible. "Your faithfulness to the skies." So this faithfulness of God is so big that in the psalmist's expressing it, he says his faithfulness isn't just as big as this or as big as the mountains or as big as whatever, as big as where the birds fly. It's right to the skies. God's faithfulness is so big. So big, it's like a massive bridge that spans right to the other side of our problem. What God isn't going to do is take us halfway along to the problem, then the bridge stops and we fall into the problem. That God's faithfulness is so big that it will span the valley of whatever it is we've got to cross. Do you face what seems like a huge challenge? Does it seem like this big valley? God's faithfulness is so big that it will span right to the other side. Spans the challenge and takes us through. That's how big God's faithfulness is. Secondly, God's faithfulness is strong and secure. Look in Numbers 23 and verse 19. Fantastic. Verse where it says here, God is not a man. He's not like you and me, like a person, that he should lie, nor a son of a man that he should change his mind. How many people say they're going to do one thing and then don't do it? How many people, you rely on them, trust in them, and they let you down in some way? How many times do I let people down? How many times do you let people down? God's not like that. He doesn't change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God's faithfulness is strong. God's faithfulness is sure. Similar verse in 1 Samuel 15, 29, where it says, "He who is the glory of Israel," isn't that a lovely expression? "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a person." He's not like you and me, that he should change his mind. God is not like that. His strength, his faithfulness is so strong that it's not like a weak bridge. It's not like a rope bridge. I've seen pictures, I've never actually crossed the bridge, but I've seen pictures of bridges, rope bridges that are broken. It looks pretty scary. I wouldn't want to be on that bridge when it broke. Because there was a weakness. Too many cattle have been across that bridge. It wasn't designed for cattle. And at some point it's broke. And you're just left with a few of the strands. And you're looking, oh dear, good. I'm glad I wasn't on that bridge when it broke. God's not like that. God is like the strongest bridge. That he is so strong, he will take us in his faithfulness, he will take us right across whatever challenges we face. There isn't a challenge that you face that God's not strong enough to take you through that, take you across that, like a bridge safe to the other side. He puts it like this again in Psalm 89 and verse 33. God says this, he says in Psalm 89, 89 and verse 33, God says, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. It's not going to break. Okay, God's not going to betray his faithfulness. God's not going to be faithful to a point and then stop. God's faithfulness will not be betrayed. So in the analogy of the bridge will not break under any circumstances. Thirdly, God's faithfulness is unlimited. In Psalm 117 and verse 2, we see this says, "The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." In Psalm 117, verse 2, the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. He's always going to be with us. He's going to get us through our current difficulty, and he's going to get us through the next difficulty. We're not going to run out the bridge. It doesn't span halfway and leave us suspended. He's going to get you to the other side. God doesn't run out of ability to help us. Not just for us. God is faithful, not just to us, but God promises his faithfulness to our children. Today, it's been lovely, isn't it? Because we've prayed, well, we've seen the very young ones, the flame ones, come up and get their prizes. And we've seen the older ones as they're going off to university. It's a lovely promise in Psalm 119, verse 90. Psalm 119, verse 90. Psalm says this, the psalmist says this, your faithfulness continues through all generations. So as far as our children are concerned, God's faithful to you, but I can have to be confidence as I trust God that that faithfulness isn't just for me, but actually his faithfulness continues through the next generation and through the next generation. I can have confidence in God's faithfulness for my children. What a wonderful thing as a parent or as a grandparent. The thing, God is faithful. God has been faithful to me. He will be faithful to me. And he will be faithful to the next generation, to my children. Gives me confidence that as they walk the bridge that God puts before them, that it's going to hold them. It's not going to collapse and throw them into the valley. What a wonderful thing. If a bridge is a metaphor to help us understand the faithfulness of God, there's another metaphor I want to look at this morning too. And for our second metaphor, we're going to move from Nepal. We're going to whiz thousands of miles across the globe to America. Because if you visit America, I've never been to America, but if you visit, I know some of you have, if you've been to America and you go to Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming, there is the most famous of all geysers. And there it is, called Old Faithful. And if you go and visit that park, it's the big tourist attraction. It's the big thing people go and see. If you're going to go that part of America, it's the big thing people see is this geyser. And so the thing about a geyser is underneath here, water is superheated. And the way the structure, actually, Gavin's actually, he's a geographer. You can come and, you can correct me, Gavin, if I'm wrong here. But there's some process under the ground here where water is superheated and then suddenly it all spouts up. So for a time, it's nothing. There's no water bubbling at all. You could get quite close to it. But then suddenly it bursts out the top. Is a big, and this is 150 feet high. So this steaming water column here is 150 feet. As it shoots out, and it does it once every about hour and a half. So about every hour and a half, this thing shoots out water at 150 feet. And it's faithful. The reason it's called, guess why it's called the Old Faithful? The reason it's called the Old Faithful is it was the first geyser to be discovered this part of America. And it was discovered in the 1800s, and it was doing it then. It was spurting out water regularly. And it's faithful. This geyser is faithful. It does it day and night, whatever the weather. Every hour and a half, it spurts out this load of water. So faithful is a good name. They've got. I looked on the website, and there's a live streaming webcam. So I thought, I really fancy seeing this. So I navigated to the right, clicked on the thing. And when I clicked on the thing, all that came up was a black screen. I thought, oh, stupid internet. It never works when you want it to. And then it suddenly twigged on me. It was morning in the UK. And so it was going to be dark, actually, in the park. And so the reason I couldn't see it was not because it wasn't spouting, but because, of course, it was dark, and I couldn't see it because of that. But even though it was dark, Old Faithful, day and night, whether anyone's there to watch it or appreciate it, when the park's closed, all the visitors are out, it still, every hour and a half, is spouting this water. And it's a wonderful metaphor. Again, it's another metaphor. Help us understand. Try and get in our hearts and minds to appreciate God is faithful. This thing God made, this is a creation of God that does it, whether anyone's there before people discovered it. It was doing this. In fact, it used to do it every hour. So when they first discovered it, every hour it would do this. It's getting a bit old and tired. And so it's losing a bit of its steam. running a bit out of steam, this thing. And so now it's slowed down to once every hour and a half. But God doesn't slow down. The great thing about God is God is faithful. He's not going to run out of steam. This thing's running out of steam. It's getting slower and slower. But God doesn't. He's faithful in all he does. God is far more reliable than this old geezer. Thankfully, God doesn't run out of steam. He's always true to his word, always true to his promises. God's faithful to his people in so many ways. I want to look briefly at a few ways this morning that God's faithful to help us, to stir us and help us. Firstly, God's faithful in the midst of trials and temptations. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Paul writing there says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful." So in the context of temptation, in the context of when we face temptation, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. See, God's faithfulness is in the midst of trials and temptations when things are difficult, when we're faced with temptation. This scripture shows us that in the midst of that situation, the faithfulness of God is what we need. What I need when I face those things is to know in my heart, God is faithful. He's with me in this. He's aware of the fact that this isn't just me, it's common to all people. And actually, there's a way that God's got through this temptation. There's a bridge. There's a way out. There's a way over this thing if I'll turn to him and ask. Even when things are tough, the writer of the Hebrews urges us in Hebrews 10 and 23, the writer urges us to do this. He says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." So when things are tough, things seem dark, things seem difficult, it seems like the bridge is wobbling. He says this, the writer is telling us, hold unswervingly. Get hold of our hope, our expectation, our confident expectation, that God's in control. God's got this situation in his hand. God's going to get me from this side to that side. Because again, the reason he wants us to do this is in the context of knowing God is faithful. So if I know in my heart God's faithful and I face all kinds of issues, how am I going to solve this? How am I going to approach that? How am I going to face this? Knowing that I've got a faithful God gives me the bridge that gets me from one side to the other. Despite whatever is roaring in the valley below, I'm going to make it across that bridge. God is faithful in every trial that we face. So tomorrow morning when we get up, we can look and face the day with the knowledge that he's not going to remove his loving kindness. He's not going to remove his faithfulness. He is going to make a way over whatever the day holds for me. Secondly, God is faithful when we sin. Familiar verse in 1 John. Verse many of us probably know this by heart. So a wonderful verse to learn. It says, if we confess our sins, if we own up, when I have sinned, of course, the tense of that word, if at the beginning, means if, maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's your choice. Are you going to? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if I sin, after I confess my sin to God, the first thing after my confession is to know God is faithful. The first thing after sinning, after failing, after deliberately or accidentally turning against God, whatever it is, the first thing is after I own up to God, confess of course is just owning up to God. After I own up to God, the first thing to know, God is faithful. That's the first thing. The very first thing in my heart is God is a faithful God. And even though I've messed up, even though deliberately or accidentally I've messed up, God is faithful and he will forgive and he will purify, he will cleanse, he will restore. What a wonderful promise, the faithfulness of God. He promises there. And if we fall into temptation, we've got 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, where it says that we've looked at this before. It says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted. Sorry, this is the beginning first, but God is faithful. You're not going to be tempted beyond what you can bear. God is there and he will work even in my temptations. Thirdly, God is faithful in his protection over us. This 2 Timothy 4:18 has got to be one of my all-time favorite verses of the Bible, 2 Timothy 4:18, because it says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." This is the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul's encouraging Timothy. And you see, the Apostle Paul, he's confident. Paul had been through so much. What had Paul not been through? Shipwreck, attacked by wild animals, stoning, hunger, no clothes. He'd been through so much. And yet his confidence, Paul's confidence was this: the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Paul wasn't saying he wouldn't go through hard times or difficulties wouldn't arise or things wouldn't be tough. Certainly they were. But his confidence was, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. And that's this bridge. That's from there to there, whatever happens, whatever the tough things are, God's faithful. He will bring me through. His protection is over my life. I encourage you to learn that verse, meditate on it, think about it. What does this mean? What does this mean practically for me? He continues in 1 Corinthians, 1 and verse 8 and 9. And he says this: God, he will keep you firm to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus. God is faithful. He called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He will keep us firm to the end. Going to keep us strong to the end. So that God's working if you've been a Christian a short time or a long time, that however many years there are in my path, in your path to heaven, here God is faithful. The Lord Jesus here is faithful. He's going to get us. He's going to bring us through whatever challenges we face. Fourthly, God is faithful as we're changed into the likeness of his Son. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says this: "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful." Do you see, at the risk of having too many scriptures, at the risk of just going scripture after scripture, I wanted to really impress this morning that these scriptures, each one, the writer is saying, God is faithful. God is faithful. Do you see that God is faithful? And so because of the fact that God is faithful, I can have confidence. Based on the faithfulness of God, I can have confidence. And so what Paul's saying here to the church in Thessalonica, he's saying God is going to work in you to sanctify you, to change you, to make you more like Jesus, to bring you to the point at which when you die and go to heaven, you can be blameless at the coming of the Lord or when you go to heaven, because God who calls you is faithful. He's going to do it. I want to see our faith this morning to rise in the fact that God is a faithful God. And that he is the one that's determined, he is the one that's willing, he's the one that's got before us this bridge to take us from where we are now to where he wants us to be. Finally, God is faithful to eternity. King David wrote in Psalm 31 verse 5, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Of course, those are the words, Jesus took those words on the cross. Jesus uttered those same words. Jesus took the words from the Psalms, King David. And Jesus, as he died, as he gave up his spirit, he said to his Father, I commit my spirit. It's the ultimate act of trusting in the faithfulness of God, is to know the very last thing you have, which is your last breath, and you know after that is death. You're totally helpless at that point, because death is about to come. Jesus was about to die. The last thing he did, showing his utter understanding of the faithfulness of God the Father, is he committed his spirit to God the Father, that God the Father would raise him up, that it wouldn't be the end, that it wouldn't be destruction, that wouldn't be the victory of the cross, wouldn't be the end of Jesus, but it would be the resurrection, it would be the beginning of so much. There's such faith in those words for eternity. God's faithful to eternity, so we can look forward with assurance to the life beyond the grave. None of us wants to die in a painful way, and we're enjoying our lives here. God gives us day by day, but God wants none of us to be afraid of death. Because when we face death, here we see with Jesus, we see with David, look before, we're committing ourselves to the one who is faithful, who will take us straight through death. And as Paul said, absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. That the moment I close my eyes to die, immediately I'm present with Jesus. That's the promise. That's the assurance of what we have in our faith. What a wonderful thing. Whatever the world, we look out in the news, just look at the news and you see the uncertainty, the instability, the difficulties that are happening around the world today, even in our country. And yet we've got the certainty of knowing that my eternal future is secure because God is faithful. He's going to do it. So to finish this morning, those of you going off away from London to university, as a young person heading away from home, I want to say God's faithful. God has been faithful to you as you've grown up. To those that were stood here today, God's been faithful to you. If you look back on your 18 or so years, God has been faithful to you. God's kept you. God's blessed you. God's prospered you. God's enabled you to move forward in your life and to walk with him and to be faithful to him. God's been faithful to you as you've grown up. He's got you this far, and now you're stood like at the edge, and there's a new bridge. There's a new bridge ahead. And the bridge spans from one side of your life to the next season. And it may look scary. Back to that original bridge that I stood on all those years ago. Some boards were missing. It was scary because it wasn't complete. God, obviously, every board is there. It's strong. It's made of the strongest stuff. It can be scary to look over the edge and look at the water raging below. It can be scary to see the problems and the difficulties and the issues and the things we face. But actually, the bridge that God is faithfulness for us is rock solid. And so with confidence, I can step out. And so if you're going to university today, you can be confident as you step out. Many years ago, when I was 18, I went to university. I wasn't a Christian. One person went to that same college that I went to, who was a Christian, and went with a vision to see people saved. And I was one of the person that became a Christian through that vision, to go with a desire and something in this person's heart, this guy's heart, to see people saved. And I was one of the person that got saved after 4 weeks. And so, stepping out, if you're going to university, step out with the vision that God gives you for this term as you go on this bridge. For those of us that are not, for those of us this morning who face all kinds of things in our lives, practical things, difficult things, relationship things, money things, whatever, God's faithfulness stretches before us. And it is a bridge that means we have to pass over these things. But it may be scary to look down and think, whoa, look at that. And goodness me, look at that. But I want to assure you today, the faithfulness of God is rock steady. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, would you today help us to have the courage to take the next step on the bridge? Would you help us to understand your utter faithfulness? Lord, would you, as we've seen in scripture after scripture, the fact that you tell us you are faithful. God, would that impact my heart? God, would that change our lives? God, would that resound in the practical things of our lives? Would the truth of that echo about the issues, the temptations, the trials, the practical things? Would it be so real to us, O Lord? God, this morning, would you come and would you show us any area where I'm looking over the edge at the roaring water underneath and not focusing on the rock-solid bridge that you've put my feet on? God, would you change my vision today? Jesus, would you help us? I wonder if the musicians could come back. We've got a little bit of time before we have to finish today. Just a little bit of time we've got. We're going to ask that we worship. And as we look to Jesus, look to him, Look that he would enable us to see him as the faithful one this morning. Would you stand with me, please? Let's stand together as God's people. Even before the musicians are up, let's in our hearts start to worship. Jesus, we look to you. God, you are faithful. Jesus, you are faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, I confess that at times, Lord, I've not trusted you. Lord, I have not been trusting your faithfulness. And I'm asking, Lord, today, would you please help me to utterly rely on, to have the courage to trust you, Lord. Would faith arise in your church today? Forgive us for our faithlessness, our doubt, cynicism, things that cloud and dull our trust in you. Lord, would faith arise today? I feel God saying some of us have been spending too long looking over the edge of the bridge at the foaming water below and not enough time looking at the faithfulness, the bridge, the strong, solid faithfulness of God, that he will get us across, that it is strong, that it will get us across these things.